You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.
The following program is provided for informational purposes only. The views and opinions expressed during the show do not necessarily reflect those of the station or the host. There are no guarantees to the information presented in this material, and the claims and results, if any, cannot be guaranteed. As always, you should consult with a professional before making any decisions that may impact your legal, financial, or medical well-being. This recording is copyrighted, all rights reserved. No portion may be used or reproduced in any way without express written permission.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show today on Monday, October 31st. I'm your host, Donna Maria, the original Lifestyle CEO, and you have arrived at the one place on the Internet where you can learn how to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. We have got a fantastic show for you today, and I know personally because of some emails I exchanged with some of you this morning, and my newsletter went out this morning that you guys are really excited to talk to our guests today, and I'm excited to introduce them to you. But before we get to that, I want to call your attention to an article in yesterday's Washington Post, Sunday, October 30th, 2005, in the business section. There's an article written by Amy Joyce, and it's called Where She Stands. And this article provides sort of a summary of women in the workforce for the last 25 years. You may remember the movie 9 to 5, which came out 25 years ago, starring Jane Fonda, Dolly Parton, and some other people. Of course, I barely remember it because I was such a youngster at the time. But anyway, that movie is where they count from. And one of the things that the article says is that according to a study, apparently there is a stereotype that women are not good problem solvers. And guess what that means, all you moms out there? That means that if you can't solve a problem, guess what? You must not be really good at running a business, because in order to run a business, you have to solve a lot of problems. It's a really interesting article. Of course, I know we all know that that's not true, and women are really good problem solvers, but there is good news. And one of the pieces of good news in the article is an interview with several women who are in the workplace today doing lots of exciting things, and oh, happy day, one of them is an entrepreneur who left her traditional job, guess when? When her first child was born and her boss would not let her commute. He would not let her commute from home or telecommute, which, of course, is much bigger now than it was 10 years ago when this woman made that decision. But anyway, today she is working in her own business in suburban Washington, D.C. She's got several employees, and guess who works along her side as her senior vice president? Her husband. Who else? How cool is that? And what a perfect segue to introduce you to our guest today, a husband-wife team who have created the lives that they love, and they're an author of a new book, which is very exciting. Today, we're going to be talking about living what you love. Our guests are husband and wife, Bob and Melinda Blanchard, authors of the new book, Live What You Love. Married for 30 years, the Blanchards have created eight businesses, each born of a determination to live what they love without compromise. That sounds so delicious. Have you and your spouse ever wanted to move on a dream, but you just don't know where to start? You want some tips from some experts? Well, we've got them here for you today. Welcome to the show, Bob and Melinda Blanchard.
Hi, thanks. It's great to be here.
Thanks.
So excited to have you. Now, I'm looking at your book, and I've read a little bit about your background, of course, because I have the press materials, but can you describe for our readers what you're doing right now and then kind of go back to when you sort of began to think in terms of living what you love and bring us up to the present?
Sure, Bob. I'll try to give you a quick overview.
That would be great, Melinda.
Right now, we divide our time actually between two places that we love dearly. We live half the year in Vermont and half the year on the island of Anguilla in the Caribbean, and which in itself is a huge part for us of living a life that we really, really treasure.
Uh-huh.
We have a restaurant on the island of Anguilla that is open almost all year long, but we have worked ourselves into a position to allow our staff to be able to run it when we're up north, like now when we're doing this huge book tour. We're traveling to 32 cities right now, which is quite an experience in itself.
I bet.
before we opened the restaurant, which opened in 94, so we've been doing this quite a while, we had, as you said, had seven other businesses that we had started ourselves. And our decision to work together and to work for ourselves happened very, very early in our relationship, actually. We've been married for more than 32 years.
Uh-huh.
And it happened for a couple of reasons. When we first started out together, we were in love, like many young couples.
Uh-huh.
We both had social work backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
And
by the way, we're still in love.
Right, we are.
Yes, well, I can certainly tell that from reading the book.
I didn't mean to make it sound past tense. Sorry. But, you know, we each had jobs when we got out of school, and we went our separate ways to work, and we'd come home at night and sort of regroup and catch each other up on what we had done during the day.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't take long to realize that that just didn't feel right to us. For us, we got married because we wanted to spend time together. We really enjoy each other's company. We're each other's best friends and it's been that way since the start.
Uh-huh.
And the only solution to that was going to be to work together,
right.
Which meant working for ourselves so we could really control that. The other turning point was that we have one child. He's now 32.
Uh-huh.
We had him when we were, I was 21 years old, very young, and he was 3 months premature.
Mm.
And it was, as you can imagine, a really rough time for us.
For
you know,
sure.
a lot of scary moments.
Uh-huh.
For a very young couple.
Uh-huh.
And when Jesse not only survived, but came through with flying colors,
uh-huh.
And we were finally able to bring him home from the hospital, we just couldn't imagine not being together as a threesome at that point,
uh-huh.
as much as possible.
Uh-huh.
And working for ourselves, not necessarily at home, but working for ourselves, gave us the flexibility to adjust our schedules as needed. And, you know, we never missed a school play. We never missed a soccer game. We never missed a ski race. We one of us, at least, was always able to be there all the time for him growing up. And for us, that's what it was all about. I mean, we just, you know, we sort of grew up as a family of three together.
Uh-huh.
And have loved every minute of it.
Well, thank you so much for that. Was a really, really great way to bring us up to date on 32 years in a short period of time. It sounds, Bob and Melinda, like part of your decision stemmed from having a child, but even before that, you kind of had a feeling that the traditional workforce thing just wasn't working for you?
That's for sure. I mean, we were both social workers when we got out of college.
Uh-huh.
And we liked the work, but I was very frustrated with the bureaucracy of it all. I mean, I was working for the state of Vermont, and I really wanted to help people, and I was spending most of my time pushing papers around. And it was just frustrating, I think. And, you know, I wanted to spend more time with Melinda, and she wanted to spend more time with me, and we really got the strength to do that a lot from the birth of Jesse. I mean, he spent 2 months in intensive care, and we were flat broke with no insurance and young and scared. And as she said, when we came out of that experience, we realized that we could probably get through most anything.
Wow. That must have been very empowering.
It was empowering. That's exactly what it was.
You know, I'm so glad you said that, because that's part of, you know, in our book,
mm-hmm.
We talk a lot about looking at your own life experiences, and you know those, you've probably seen those yellow pages in our book that say reflect, ask, and act.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we encourage readers to empower themselves, basically, just by thinking about their own past experiences and trying to connect them to where they want to be in the future. Because
right.
you can learn so much from what you've gone through, both successful experiences and, you know, ones that maybe haven't worked out as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you know, many of the listeners to the Lifestyle CEO Show are moms. So, Melinda, can you tell me how long it was after your son was born that you actually quit the job that you had? Was it before he was born or after?
It was after, but shortly after.
Shortly after, okay.
I'm just trying to think. Jesse was born in March of 74,
mm-hmm.
came home about 3 months later, and we opened our first retail store, which is how we started, in 1976. So he was less than two. I mean, he was about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm. And from what I understand from your book and what you're describing, you had very little money at the time.
Oh, yeah. Less than little.
And so you stepped out on your desire to sort of create your own kind of family dynamic and live what you loved.
You know, we did a book signing the other night in Philadelphia, and a young gentleman who's a father of two children, I believe, and he said, he has two little girls, one 4 and 1 6.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, how do you balance it? How do you cope with having small children and starting a business?
Mm-hmm.
And he saw it. I think the difference was that he was looking at it as very two separate lives,
mm-hmm.
his work life and his home life.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob and I have never really seen it that way. We see it as our life. And
the business, whatever business we happen to be running at the time, is part of that life.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't a separate thing. We don't go to work and think of it as away from home and away from family. Jesse was always very involved in our businesses over the years. He, you know, would come to work with us a lot, just as I did as a child. I grew up in my dad's general store in Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I was, I don't know, 6 years old or so, I was running the cash register and pumping gas and, you know, waiting on customers and stocking shelves and doing all the things that you have to do in a little general store. And
right.
Melinda was very involved in her mom's businesses. She grew up in New York City, and her mom did a lot of different things, but one of them was she would rent apartments and redecorate them and furnish them and then rent them back, sublet them. And she became a landlord, basically, for a while. And Melinda was very involved in helping her do that, redecorating the apartments and painting and, you know, fixing them up and then re-renting them. So I think we both grew up in entrepreneurial situations.
It sounds like you did. And, you know, Bob, I would love to follow up on what you just said about not seeing your business, your family business life, as a separate entity from your family life. Because that's what most people grow up with. You get up in the morning, you leave your home and your family to go to work, and then you come back.
Right.
And never the two shall meet.
You know, if you think about in the olden days, think of farm families.
Yes.
Think of all of the people, you know, decades ago that where whatever you did for a living, whether it was running a general store, whether it was working on a farm, whatever it was, it was a family venture.
Mm-hmm.
And from our point of view, it builds such confidence and gives kids such a leg up in the world when they are involved at an early age. And I'm not, you know, we don't want to get attacked by child labor law people, but you know, certainly we never worked our son to the bone. But
right.
he gained such knowledge, and now, you know, he's grown, he's married, he's an artist, he's a successful
mm-hmm.
painter,
mm-hmm.
actually earning a living as a painter. And we watch and we see the skills that he picked up just sort of subliminally. You know, we never really taught him anything.
Right, right. Just
sort of
watching.
In his blood.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of it is a matter of self-reliance.
Yeah, and you know, that is not something that's really taught to our children, and at least as far as I can see. And I know my daughter empties the trash in my office, and she gets paid a quarter every time she does it, and she just turned four. So the idea that that the worlds are separate is really something that do you think sometimes people, when they make that mistake, they make it harder for themselves than they otherwise would? And I'm going to ask that question and ask you to hold the thought as an answer, because we're going to take a little bit of a break. Everyone out there, we are just now getting started. Bob and Melinda are just warming up, and so am I. We're going to open up the phone lines in a little bit at 800-773-0355. And we have a free copy of Bob and Melinda Blanchard's new book, Live What You Love, which if you call your question or comment in, you will be entered into a drawing to win that book. We'll be back. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio.
Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. This is Donna Maria, your host, and I'm so excited to have you here. I am with authors Bob and Melinda Blanchard, whose new book, Live What You Love, is sitting right in front of me. And actually, the subtitle to the book is Notes from an Unusual Life. And before we took our break, we were talking about the uniqueness of life as a family and a business. Melinda, we were going to follow up a little bit on the question I asked about the integration of the life and the business as a whole and not seeing them as separate. Can you follow up with some thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, one thing I've been thinking during the break about how to respond to that question, and it's very interesting because I think one thing that has happened in our life is the 7 days of the week no longer have the same definition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't wake up on Monday counting down the days until the weekend when we can have family time. It's very different because when you run your own business, as many people know, you're sort of on call all the time. And it's even though you're a little more in control, you're not answering to someone else, you're also, it's very demanding. And it takes a lot of time. And sometimes that time might be Sunday morning, or sometimes that might be Saturday afternoon. Sometimes it might not be Monday and Tuesday. And so I think what we've learned to do is remain flexible in, when we spend our time, when we spend our downtime, our time away from the business together, and that's been really helpful. You know, once you sort of accept the fact that maybe you're not following the same schedule as everyone else, you know, it's a lot easier and a lot more relaxing and a lot more fun.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. I know a lot of listeners, and even just me personally, when in my family, I was the first one to start my own business, and my husband has done the same now. But in the interim, there were times when I'd be maybe working on a Monday morning as everybody's, you know, frying up eggs or whatever, and my husband would be like, what are you doing? And then there are other times when it's the middle of the day and we're having family time while everybody else is at work. And it took a while for him to sort of retool his mind and kind of join me in the freedom of creating it as we go and not being wedded to the way we were raised or the way other people do it.
Exactly. The trick is to enjoy the freedom, not be worried about it.
Yes.
You know?
Well,
and
some
I think
people
put a burden upon themselves for no reason.
Right, and I'm so glad we're talking about this because for some people, those habits, you know, some people are 30 and 40 years old before they get married and have children. Those kinds of habits are hard to break because it's what's always worked, and the fear of doing something and you don't know it's going to work because you've never seen it before can be very real.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So tell me, Bob, a little bit about how you, as the husband in this business family relationship, provide some support to Melinda as a mom, especially when your son was younger.
Well, I think first of all, we shared all of the responsibilities with, you know, of raising him. Neither of us really, you know, put it on the other person to do that.
Mm-hmm. So it was a real shared responsibility.
I mean, in some ways, running a business together is almost easier in that regard because we have the same common goal, you know, to run the business and make it succeed. Even though we don't perform the same duties in the business, those seem to divide themselves pretty easily. Like in this restaurant that we have now, Melinda's the chef and I'm out on the floor because she can cook and I can't. And, you know, it's a very easy sort of division of duties there. But in terms of our son, I think neither of us really expected the other one to do any particular duties. And one of the advantages of running your own business is that we could leave when we wanted to. After school, for instance, we picked him up. One of us always picked him up after school, you know, at 3 or whenever he got out. And that was the end of our day.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of took turns doing that. And it was one of the reasons we wanted to work together, so that we could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that I think, for the moms out there listening, you know, if the man in your life or the partner in your life isn't sharing in that, it may make it difficult, and you may have to figure out a way to operate your business, you know, during school hours if you have young children, or get him to, you know, him or her to share in that responsibility. And it is hard sometimes to sort of get people to rethink if they've, especially if they've been working on their own for a while and then they get married later. People are getting married later in life these days, and they've already established a career, and it's hard to make that change. And you're right, that you talked about fear a minute ago, and fear of making that change is always what holds people back. Fear of any change is what holds people back, I think.
Yeah, that's true. It's so funny that we're talking about fear on what's supposed to be the scariest day of the year. On Halloween.
Yeah.
And you know, this conversation, I hope it's so helpful to listeners, because it is so significant and so important, I think, in society today, with pension plans evaporating and Social Security kind of going the way of the dinosaurs, to as a family find something that you can rely on, that you can create yourself to build, well, I call it building your own corporate ladder, but whatever you call it, creating some kind of income-producing mechanism. So if you get laid off, if there is no Social Security, if your pension is gone, if the stocks go away, that you have something the next morning after you get the bad news. You can get up in the morning and you have something, and you can start making it work.
That is so true. You know, what we always, it's always surprises us when people think they're more secure. Now we're talking, you know, if you talk about people who are considering leaving a traditional job setting and starting out on their own with an idea, they feel that they're leaving the security of a job and entering into something unknown. We see it just the opposite. Whose job is secure these days? I mean, really?
Right.
That's a false security.
Right. And how can it be
secure when you have some sort of control over
life? Right. And how can it be unknown when you're the one who's making it up?
Exactly.
That's right.
And you can change it along the way as you need to.
Yeah. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the one thing that I think scares people a lot is the issue of health benefits. If you have young children, of course, I always recommend to people, if you have a day job, moonlight for a while in whatever it is that you're doing. Come home and work at night and build some kind of a platform for it before you just dump, unless you're flush with cash and other factors. Of course, every situation is different. But on the whole, particularly if you have health benefits, don't you think it's important, or do you think it's important to build up something a little bit while you have an opportunity, so that you can kind of get your feet wet and maybe just not, you know, have sort of a hot cut to a whole new lifestyle all at one time?
You have to be realistic. You have to be careful. You have to be realistic. You have to be sensible. And you don't want to do anything rash. And you know, health insurance is something that we would never do without. I mean, we just...
always paid for our own because, you know, we've always been in business together. And so we've always just had to get our own life health insurance. And
We minimize the cost as much as we can by getting very high deductibles. Luckily, we're both fairly healthy people.
Right. And it is not cheap.
It is not cheap.
It's a huge, huge expense.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
And, you know, you're absolutely right. If you have some of that security, you know, don't quit your day job unless you have to. That's for sure. I mean, and there are all kinds of things people can do out there. We started one of our businesses. Our son was very much into ski racing years ago, and we got involved with the program and started running the program, and I coached and Melinda organized. And we started a little company, a mail-order company, selling ski racing equipment basically to the kids in the races. And they were things that they couldn't find in regular ski shops, like helmets and, you know, tuning equipment. And it's not stuff that the regular skier would look for, probably, so ski shops don't carry it.
Mm-hmm.
And we started printing catalogs off our computer, stapling them together, just black and white, you know, descriptions and either line drawings of the products or copies from, you know, the catalogs that the products were in.
Mm-hmm.
That we would copy in a copy machine. We'd hand these things out at ski races, and the next day orders would just pile in from the kids that were in the races the day before, and it turned into a great little company. But
this,
you know,
was a very, we're talking very part-time, evenings, out of your garage sort of business.
And,
well, and you know, the thing is, you did it.
Yeah, we did
it. You did it. You put yourself out there, and I often say that, you know, part of being successful in your own business is just putting the needle on the record and doing the same thing over and over and over again.
That's great.
If it works, you keep doing it. I'm not a cook, Melinda, but, you know, if the syrup turns out good the first time, you want to make it the same way the second time.
Exactly right.
So everybody will love it. Hey, listen, for all you listeners out there who are interested in living what you love and creating the life you love and taking your business idea to the next level, I'd like to invite you to join me at the Lifestyle CEO Conference on January 28, 2006. You can visit our website at lifestyleceo.com to get all the details and learn about our fantastic keynote luncheon speaker, the bankruptcy to millionaire beauty products owner, Lisa Price of Carol's Daughter in New York City. I'm so excited to have you here today. We have opened up the phone lines, and we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Robin in New Jersey. Please give us a call and talk to Bob and Melinda for some serious Live What You Love inspiration. Our toll-free call-in number is 800-773-0355, and we may have a copy of their book available for you. We'll be right back. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm so excited to be here. We've got our guests, Bob and Melinda Blanchard, authors of Live What You Love, Notes from an Unusual Life, and we can hardly contain ourselves. We're so excited to be talking about living what we love. And in case you want to learn more about that, you can visit Bob and Melinda's website at livewhatyoulove.com. They've got some helpful tips there to help you discover how you can live what you love. And there's also a blog there and some more community information. And there's also details on their book tour. They're visiting dozens of cities over the next couple of months. So you want to check there and see when they're going to be in your location so you can go meet them and chat it up about living what you love. Could there be anything more fun to talk about? You know, I'm going to tell my engineer we need another hour. But in the meantime, I think we've got a caller, Robin in New Jersey. Welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. What's your question or comment?
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Hi, Robin.
Good. Hi. I wanted to ask you, because we all know that no one agrees on everything all the time. So when you have differences in your business or even disagreements, how do you handle this without it carrying over into your personal feelings during your off or your downtime?
That's a really good question. And, you know, people ask us, especially in the restaurant all the time, they watch the two of us work together and they say, how do you guys do this? I could never do this with my staff. You know, I think it starts with basic relationship philosophies. And Bob and I have always, at the risk of sounding sort of trite, we're pretty respectful of each other, and we care enough about each other to never say anything that we're going to regret. And we definitely don't agree all the time. We are two very separate people with different opinions. And, you know, we do view the world very, very similarly. So so our disagreements are usually not earth-shattering enough to cause any kind of disruption.
Well, they're usually not personal disagreements either. They're more business disagreements of how we get from point A to point B. And so we handle them in more of a business-like manner than a relationship manner. I think that's, you know, we try not to bring our personal, just like you wouldn't go into a boardroom and say to the chairman, listen, you stupid fool, what are you talking about? You know, we don't do that. We say, look, what do you think we should do about this situation? We've got somebody working for us that's doing this, and we need to fix that, you know?
We're pretty aware of never wanting to hurt each other's feelings. You know, because we're with each other day in and day out, we want it to be as enjoyable and as much fun as possible. And in order to do that, you know, we're just, all I can say is we're pretty considerate and kind of each other, and we think very carefully before we bring up a touchy subject. Mm. And we word our thoughts carefully so that it doesn't upset or disrupt or start something that might go in a negative direction.
And usually, if we're angry about something, we're not angry at each other. We're jointly angry at something else.
At a situation.
Or someone else, or something that's happened, and mm-hmm. that way our anger is not directed at each other, it's directed at something else. And it doesn't mean, you know, we've had some really rough times in our life. We've had a couple of businesses that didn't work out. We just about lost our shirt once, and we're down to just a few $1,000, literally, that we had to bury in our backyard because we were sure the bank was going to come take our house, and if we put the money in the house, we were sure they would take the house and the money. So we buried it in the backyard in a little metal box in the middle of the winter in Vermont. Had to dig a hole with a pickaxe to get it down under the snow and ice. And with that money, it was $4,000. And with that money, we started a company called Blanchard & Blanchard. And we make salad dressings and mustards and stuff like that. And within a few years, it was doing $3 million in sales.
Oh, wow.
But just to finish up with Robin, that situation could have led to an all-out war.
Mm-hmm.
I could, you know, looking back now, I never really thought about it before, but in that instance, Bob had to go back to being a carpenter, and he did work for someone else for a while to put food on the table,
right,
literally.
Right, yeah.
And I worked on starting the Blanchard & Blanchard product line at home. He could have really resented the fact that he had to go out in the winter working on a roof, you know, in below zero weather in Vermont.
There's a great story about this in the book, by the way.
Yeah,
but he didn't. And, you know, he let me do my thing. I let him do his thing. And we just work as a team to sort of get to our common goal.
Yeah, it sounds like what you're saying is a big part of it, in addition to being kind, is to identify the goals and then everyone work toward them. And whatever disagreements there are, keeping the goal in mind, you can work through them better.
Exactly.
That's right.
If you have the same goal, there isn't really a disagreement. You just have to figure out the best way to, you know, overcome any obstacles in the way.
Yeah. Robin, I hope that's helpful to you.
Yeah, it is, because I think that sometimes you have a very strong opinion about something, and you can have an equally opposite strong opinion, and trying to work it out in business, sometimes at the end of the day, say you leave and you go to your personal life, it's a way to sort of step out, Robin, and get away from it. But you don't do that if you're together all the time.
Robin, the other thing I've learned over the years is choose your battles. It's an old saying, but it's not always worth fighting for. And we do give in sometimes. You know, you have to really know inside, is it worth it? You might feel strongly about something, but look further down the road and say, okay, so what happens if we do it the other way? Is it really going to matter?
Yeah.
Just give it up sometimes.
Well, and Melinda and Bob, I mean, one of the things business and personal relationships are all about is compromise.
Yeah.
some extent. So, it's Robin, thank you for calling in your question. Please stay on the line so that our engineer can get your give you some information so you can be entered into the drawing to win the book. And not only, listeners, do we have a drawing to win this fabulous book, Live What You Love, Notes from an Unusual Life by Bob and Melinda Blanchard, we also have some beauty products, some body scrubs and some things like that that are going to be given to everyone who calls in. So, Robin, you'll be getting not only entered into the drawing, but you'll also get some beauty products made by a Handmade Beauty Network member called Inner Glow Home Spa, which is located in New Jersey, a mom there who makes these wonderfully delicious body scrubs and stuff. You just don't want to miss them. So give us a call with your comment or question for Bob and Melinda at 800-773-0355. Do you want to live the life you love? Are you struggling to live what you love? What kinds of questions do you have and what's on your mind? Bob and Melinda, I'm interested in talking a little bit about some of your 10 tips to living what you love. And one of them that I think is just so interesting and kind of encompasses a lot of things is considering what you call the big four. What are the big four, and tell us what they are, Bob?
Well, the big, you know, when we sat down to write this book, we really tried to analyze what steps we go through each time we make some sort of a life change. And we have made 8 different life changes over the years with 8 different businesses. And so we sat down and said, what sort of criteria do we look at to establish the route that we're going to take? What do we look at to determine how to make this change? And we came up with what we call the big four. And I think that they're a major factor. They're the main factor in everyone's lives in determining whether you're living what you love or not. And the big four consist of, first, passion. You need to be doing something that you're passionate about. Everyone has some sort of a passion, or 2 or 3. And if it's not, if one of those, at least one, is not part of your life, it's usually not a lot of fun in life. I mean, if you're just doing things by rote, if you're doing things that are drudgery to you, and you're not doing something that you're passionate about, and I don't, you know, it doesn't mean that you don't have to do things you don't want to do. Everybody has to do things they don't want to do. I just had to speak to the banker down in Anguilla this morning and explain to him why my checking account's overdrawn.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't get open last week when we were supposed to after the hurricane in Florida, because we couldn't get our food out because the airports were closed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we all have to do things we don't like to do. But the second one is people.
Hey, Bob, before you leave passion, can you give us a tip on this? I talk to so many moms who have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 passions.
Mm-hmm.
And they're struggling because most of them want to start businesses, struggling with
how to narrow it down.
Yeah, which one do I choose? And, I mean, obviously you want to choose one that's going to generate some revenue since it's a business issue. But any other tips on that?
Well, I would just try to sit down, take some time by yourself. Take one of our other top 10 tips is give yourself a day. Give yourself a day to sit down and really analyze what it is you want to do. And if you've got more than a few passions to think about, the only way to do it is to really make a list of them, make a list of the pros and cons that have to do with that, those different passions, and then think about them in terms of reality. We have another chapter in the book about tying your dreams to reality.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure that something's practical. I mean, one of your dreams may be to go skiing for a living. And, you know, that's certainly possible. People can be ski instructors. They can, you know, open a ski shop, or they can work in a restaurant in Aspen or something and ski all day and work all night. You know, that's possible. But which one is going to lead you to the route that you want to end up at most? I mean, is one of them to go back to school and become have a law firm, or go to the Culinary Institute and learn to be a chef?
You know, we talk a lot in the book about trusting your instincts and trusting your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone has 8 different things, the 8 different ideas are things that they really love to do, my guess is they're not all equal. And if you just give yourself a little time to think about it, 1 or 2 are going to surface
as
being more prominent.
That's really great. Passion is such a huge thing. And we're going to take a little bit of a break and come back and talk about the other big fours, people, as you said, and the two other ones. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. Please call your question or comment into Bob and Melinda at 800-773-0355. We'll be right back.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. We are here with authors and husband and wife team, Bob and Melinda Blanchard, authors of Live What You Love. You can call and pose your question or comment directly to them on our toll-free listener line, 800-773-0355. Are you living what you love? Do you want to live what you love? I talk with people all the time who are doing it or not doing it, and they want to do it. And Bob and Melinda have done it 8 times, not counting the 9th time, which is being on this show. I hope you're loving it as much as I am.
We are.
And they're ready to answer some of your questions. And not only that, if you call your question in, you'll be entered into a drawing to win this wonderful book, Live What You Love, lots of tips for you to learn how to put into place to live what you love, plus some handmade beauty products from handmade beauty product member Interglow Home Spa, wonderful sugar scrubs and stuff like that. So call your question in if you'd like, and in the meantime, we're going to go back to Bob, and he's going to tell us the 3 remaining 4 principles. We talked about passion, and there's 3 more. Bob, take it away.
Well, the next one is people, and you know, so many people end up sort of spending their time with people that they don't want to be with.
Mm.
And that's really unfortunate because life is very short. You know, we're just going this way once.
Right.
And not only do you need to do something you're passionate about, but you need to do it with people that you really want to be with and spend time with and care about. We've been very lucky over the years because we've been able to run our own businesses. We've been able to sort of pick and choose the people that we work with. And, for instance, right now we've got this amazing staff in Anguilla who run our restaurant with us, and they run it without us when we're not there, which is about half the year now. And, you know, each and every one of those people mean so much to us, and we would do anything for them, and they would probably do anything for us. And they love spending time with each other. They do things down there together as a group. They've formed a sports club that they organize events on the island. They do bike races and sponsor bike races, and they have barbecues, and they do reggae concerts, and they make money on these things, and they donate some of the proceeds to the local school, which is an amazing thing.
I mean, I'm going to just interrupt for a second, because I'm sure your listeners would agree that part of the reason people like to own their own business and have that entrepreneurial feeling is because they get to create their own community of coworkers, even if it's very small. You know, it could be 1 person, 2 people, or 50 people, whatever you end up doing. But you have a great opportunity there to create a community or a family of people, and to help them make their work worthwhile and enjoyable. And you know, it just goes beyond your own personal benefit.
It sounds like what you're describing too, Bob and Melinda, is almost like your extended family. And isn't it great that so many internet-based businesses can use the power of the internet and the connection tool that it is to develop those kinds of relationships even across the mile?
Oh, phenomenal.
It's amazing, yeah. And it's also amazing. Some of the businesses that we started years and years ago, the same people are still there. Because they have such a great community and they still love it, and you know, that's really, and that makes us feel great. We go back to Blanchard and Blanchard, the salad dressing company,
right,
which we sold almost 20 years ago now. And Charlie, who we hired as a shipping clerk, who was I think 18 at the time, is now the vice president and running the show.
Wow!
And his wife works there, and on the production lines, his mom and dad are still out there His dad runs the warehouse, and his mom runs the production line. And, you know,
oh, wow.
The whole family is still together, and we put them all there. And that's,
you
that's tremendous.
You guys started it. Wow, that's amazing. So we've got passion, people, and what are the other two, Bob?
The third is place or environment.
Uh-huh.
And it's really important, we think, to do this in a place that you really love. If you have a wonderful thing that you're doing and you're passionate about it, that's great. And if you're doing it with people you love, that's great. But if you're doing it in a place that you hate, it's still not a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So we think those three things, passion, people, and place, need to be really in order and lined up and aligned and working, or you're not going to be entirely complete in your quest to live what you love.
Well, I bet that we could get a list of people that would love to come live what we love in Anguilla with us.
I bet we could, yes,
okay,
that's right.
So I bet if I opened up the phone lines for that prize.
We only hire local Anguillians, sorry.
You know what, I got a, we do have actually an email question, and I don't know what it is, but I'm going to read it. It's from Rachel in Miami, and Rachel wants to follow up a little bit. Here it is, about the environment issue. I live in Miami, and I love Miami. However, I don't always love the winter season when so many people sort of invade my hometown. What kinds of suggestions could you I have? She says she has an internet-based business. Any suggestions for how she can kind of split the year up a little bit like you?
Well, maybe she should go north in the winter when all the people come south.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we do, basically. We go to Anguilla, and we go to Vermont. And maybe she can work out a way, if it's an internet-based company, she can probably do it from anywhere.
And maybe just probably even go on the internet, Rachel, and look up towns or cities that you've heard about in the northern part of the country that are nice, and maybe get some information from the Chambers of Commerce or you know, the welcome wagons or whatever.
Yeah, great advice. You know, we sometimes talk with people and recommend that they think about where they've had good memories or where they've seen a movie. You know, sometimes you see a movie and you think, God, I would love to go there. Or as a child, maybe you went to camp somewhere or whatever your personal situation may be. But a lot of times it just means revisiting someplace that's from your past and wanting to spend a little more time there.
Also, you know, sometimes it doesn't mean going that far. I mean, you know, maybe just another place in Florida that's less touristy
mm-hmm.
might work. You know, if you like that weather and you like the South Florida lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the West Coast even is less invasive.
Do you agree that sometimes you can just, in your own environment where you are, you can make some changes in your own home or in your
absolutely.
Own community that can make a difference and insulate you from whatever it is that's bothering you and not even have to physically pack up?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just a matter of how you get from point A to point B. Don't go on the highway where all the crowds are.
You know,
find a beautiful back road.
Sometimes I've found it's a matter of changing the color of the walls.
That's right.
Which can make a huge difference. Bob, tell us about the fourth big thing. We've got passion, people, environment. We've got a little bit of time left to talk about another big thing, which may be the biggest kahuna of all, and that is?
Well, that one is money.
Yo.
And,
We need some of that.
Well, money is always the thing that holds people back the most, I think, in making any sort of a move. And it's usually fear about money. It's fear of losing it. It's fear of not having enough of it. You know, money's tough because you do need money to survive in this world. For us, money always comes last out of the big four. We tend to sort of figure out the first three first and then figure out a way to make the money happen.
Mm-hmm.
And usually if you're passionate about something and you really pursue it and you put your heart into it, the money will follow.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said before, we've started 8 different businesses. 3 of them were with less than $10,000, and several turned into very large businesses.
Mm-hmm.
The ski racing supply catalog is still going. We sold it to a fellow coach when we moved to the Caribbean because you can't run a ski racing catalog too well from the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
It's still going strong. You know, he's built it up into a much bigger business now, and the money part, you have to figure out a way to make it happen. And if you care deeply enough about making making a change in your life and making a move, there's always a way to find the money.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't mean that if you're flat broke, you can build a skyscraper in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe some people can. I'm sure there are real estate moguls out there like Donald Trump who would say, well, of course you can. I've been
right.
flat broke and I've built skyscrapers. But, you know, again, you have to tie your dreams to reality. There are ways to find the money. You know, maybe the big house that was one of your dreams 5 years ago, the mortgage to it now has become an albatross.
Mm.
And it might be time to get rid of that big house.
Mm.
And sometimes people become attached to things that don't matter to them anymore.
Yeah, you know, that's so interesting that you say that. In suburban Washington, D.C., where I live, the housing values have, like, quadrupled in the past 5 years. And
right.
several of our neighbors, just in the past 6 or 8 months, have sold their houses at a tremendous profit and moved to very small cities in different places in the country and
yeah.
bought the same house with what they perceive to be a better lifestyle.
Exactly.
They're doing exactly what you said, living what they love.
Yeah, it's important not to become too attached to something like that that's costing you money.
Yeah.
You know, when even maybe just getting rid of it
right.
might make you a lot happier.
Yeah, it's all about happiness, you know.
Right. You know, and what you said earlier is so key, too, is that, you know, life is short, and we have a tendency to look at things in this microcosm of now instead of saying, you know, this is whatever I'm feeling, whatever I'm going through right now, no matter what it is, good or bad, it's temporary.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put it on the continuum and say, you know, what are my long-range goals in life? What do I want my life to be like? Then I think it's a lot easier to make these kinds of life-changing decisions and live what you love.
I think
that's
so,
right,
too.
Exactly. And it's always important to keep the money part in perspective, you know. That
yeah, yeah.
Amassing lots of money doesn't really do you any good. The money's only there to provide you with those other three of the big four.
Right, and it's so great. What a lifestyle CEO is, a person who owns a business, not just for financial reasons, but because of the fun, the flexibility, the independence, and who doesn't want all of those things, especially if you're mom. My engineer is telling me, sadly, I feel like it's time to play some sad music. But we have to end this show. I can't believe it. I am going to ask my listeners to email me at dm@lifestyleceo.com if you want Bob and Melinda to come back so I can let them know that. I'm quite sure I'm going to get some emails. In the meantime, Live What You Love is available at your local bookstore and at online booksellers. Live What You Love by Bob and Melinda Blanchard. You can visit their website at livewhatyoulove.com and get their other 10 tips to living what you love. I'm so glad that you joined us today, Bob and Melinda.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's been really fun.
Have fun traveling, and please, I will be inviting you again. I'm going to issue an advance invitation. I hope you'll accept it. In the meantime, everyone, I want you to log on to lifestyleceo.com. We've got a blog there. We've got lots of information there about the upcoming Lifestyle CEO Conference in Washington, D.C. on January 28, 2006. Today is the last day for early bird registration. Sign up, and I will look forward to seeing you there. In the meantime, break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. I'm Donna Maria signing off from the Lifestyle CEO Show. See you next week.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.